With that said, action item number 17, I've been waiting for it all day. Report and possible discussion of regional water planning in Texas, Trey Busby.
Before Trey gets up here, Leroy went to presentation, and I think Gene and Sal went to one, and I went to the one in Waco. To kind of answer your question, Leroy, there was an older gentleman about your age sitting in the sitting in the back, and he got the briefing. He got the longer briefing of the one that Trey's going to sit here, and it goes to the very question that you asked. I'm seeing all these projects, so I just have one question. How much is my monthly bill going to go up to pay for this? And the answer is, whenever, right now, as you know, we sell water for $60 an acre foot, they're looking at projected cost of $1,200 an acre foot for some of these projects. So, and we've been saying this for a long time, but the collision about all this stuff is going to come, is going to happen. So, anyway, Director Bell asked that Trey give an overview to the rest of you who didn't get to go that, and this week.
Chairman Quitt, thank you very much. My name is Trey Busby. I'm the Central Basin Government Customer Relations Manager. This is an information-only briefing, no action taken. Regional water planning has been ongoing in Texas for a number of years. One of the first regional water plans occurred back in 1968 and was crafted by the Texas Water Development Board. Up until 1997, regional water planning in Texas was essentially a top-down planning approach coordinated by the Texas Water Development Board. In 1997, during the legislative session, then Lieutenant Governor Bob Bullock established regional planning at the local level through Senate Bill 1. Next slide, please. What Senate Bill 1 did was establish 16 planning regions in Texas, and what it did was forced the planning to local stakeholders at the local level. And what this slide shows, it shows the 16 regions in Texas, and then you see the red lines through the middle of the state. That's the Brazos River Basin. The BRA and Brazos River Authority and Brazos River Basin are essentially impacted by Regions O, Regions G, and Region H. Next slide. Just a quick overview. Regional water planning is a stakeholder-driven process. It's a bottom-up planning approach. It brings competing water user interests together. That would be municipal users, industrial, ag, steam, electric. Texas Water Development Board still coordinates the planning efforts, but again, this is from a bottoms-up, stakeholder-driven process. One of the drive-home messages in regional water planning is the fact that if you want to apply for funding through the Texas Water Development Board, such as a RIF funding or Drinking Water State Revolving Fund, your project has to be in the state water plan, in the regional water plan, in order to qualify for that funding. Next slide. Some of the challenges in regional water planning, John Hoffman mentioned them just a few minutes ago. It's created an urgency for folks to contract for more water. We have requests for water today that we can't fulfill at the moment. Another issue is a lot of folks, when you get into population and water demand projections, you'll see some communities claim that their population projections are too low, and in a few cases you'll see folks claim that their population projections are too high. In addition to that, the regional water planning groups are at times seen as a perceived regulatory body. Next slide. Some of the interest groups on regional water planning groups: the Brazos River Authority represents river authorities on the planning groups. Other voting interests include publics, municipalities, environmental, small business, and then there's some non-voting interests that include state agencies and liaisons from other planning groups. Next slide. This is a map of the Brazos G regional water planning area to give you an idea of where some of the members are located and what their interest categories are. Next slide. I want to spend a few minutes on this slide. This is kind of the meat of the regional water planning process. The step O is the scope of work development process. That can take up to a year and includes a good bit of stakeholder involvement. It's where the regional water planning groups will develop the scope of work for that cycle of planning. The next step, describe the region. That's just a general overview of the region. It describes major water providers, current water use, and description of natural resources, among a few. Step two, that's where Texas Water Development Board and the regions take population numbers that were developed by the U.S. Census Bureau and State Demographer's Office and develop water demands based on those population numbers. Step four is an assessment of step three is assessment of current water supplies, and step four is where you essentially take those demands you have and subtract them from the supplies and come up with your shortages or your surpluses. If you have a shortage, that's where step five comes into play. We look at what type of strategies need to be implemented to meet those shortages. In step six, we put all those components, one through five, together into the regional water plan. Right now, we're working on the 2011 regional water plan here in Brazos G. That water plan will fit into the 2012 state water plan that will be crafted by the Texas Water Development Board. It will include Brazos G and the other 15 regional planning groups. Next slide. What's BRA's role in regional water planning? BRA, as I mentioned earlier, it serves as a voting delegate on Region O, Brazos G, and Region H. And for Region G, the Brazos River Authority GM CEO Phil Ford serves as the secretary treasurer, and then BRA serves as the administrative agent for Brazos G. We provide a meeting place for the members to meet, some administrative support such as putting agendas together and so forth. A majority of the customers that we serve in the Brazos River Basin are found in Brazos G and Region H. And then we sell, as the Brazos River Authority, we sell water to customers based on their needs that are reflected in the regional water plans. Next slide. The big picture. Phil kind of alluded to this a while ago, and I take this from Director Bell. When he came out to Abilene, he had a conversation with me after our meeting in Abilene. We had some sub-regional meetings through Brazos G a couple weeks back to roll out the 2011 state water plan for the Brazos G planning area. And what Director Bell said was that having that presentation allowed him to see the big picture of how many players are in the water businesses and what it means to BRA, and helped him focus on some of the challenges that we have at hand. Does that kind of get it, Mr. Bell? Next slide. The next couple of slides I'm going to show you are just some excerpts from the Brazos G 2011 Regional Water Plan. They're just examples of what this shows, or some shortage examples. You'll see, for instance, on the Brazos River Authority main stem, in 2030 we're projecting a shortage of 107,000 acre feet, and by 2060 a shortage of 302,000 acre feet. That encompasses some of the shortages that John has talked about to you earlier with respect to the Avalanche Creek projects and such. There are a couple of other entities. City of Abilene has a shortage of 27,000 acre feet in 2060, and City of Cedar Park has approximately 13,000 acre feet of shortage in 2060. Next slide. This slide is a very interesting one with respect to, there's a lot of numbers, it's fairly busy. But what I tried to put together is, you saw the shortages before, now here are the strategies to meet those shortages. For the BRA main stem, y'all have heard a lot about our system operations permit. In the 2011 plan, the anticipated yield from that permit is 201,000 acre feet, cost of about $10.8 million. The other strategy that's been noted to satisfy demands on the main stem in the 2011 regional water plan is Milliken Reservoir, Panther Creek site. That has a yield of 194,000 acre feet, and it has a price tag of $1.7 billion. That's not a typo, folks. It's a pretty significant project. Those two projects collectively are to meet the 302,000 acre feet of shortage projected for 2060. Again, we come down to the City of Abilene. These projects are not necessarily BRA projects. These are projects driven by local entities. City of Abilene has a shortage of around 27,000 acre feet in 2060. It has an anticipated yield for their Cedar Ridge Reservoir project of 23,380 acre feet at a cost of $285 million. City of Cedar Park, again, it's not a BRA project, but it's a project that they have locally to increase their supply from the LCRA. They get water from Lake Travis. They are to increase their supply approximately 12,000 acre feet at a cost of $62 million. What this shows is just the number of projects that are out there, and that they don't always BRA is not always included in these projects, but gives you an idea of the diversity of the projects out there. Next slide. In summary, the process, the very detailed planning process, there are numerous stakeholders and projects in the planning process, and the process forces stakeholders to engage. And I'll take some questions at this time.
Any questions for Trey?
There was a Little River project at one time that was on the board. Did that completely go off?
It's not a recommended strategy in any of the plans. It's noted in the Brazos G plan, and I believe it's noted in the Region H plan, but they're not recommended strategies. But they are.
And the Milliken was kind of on hold because of environmental issues, and it's now back on the board at 1.8 million.
This configuration is a new, this is Panther Creek site, it's a new configuration. There may have been some environment, it may, the in the older plan, there was a Bundick site.
Yeah.
That, yes, ma'am, the Bundick site was on, may have been on hold for some environmental issues. I wouldn't just, I would say that the Panther Creek site could still face some of those same issues because it's in approximately the same location. It's just a much larger footprint.
But because of what happened with the math on Region H, one of those projects is in play because the math doesn't work without one. And G has enough shortages where it's going to have to be needed. So right now you've got G and H both needing to put that in there to make the math over the long term work for the planning areas.
And it depends on how the math goes to system
either exacerbator or problem. And so those are interesting maps. Pretty sure. We really need LS3. I was looking at some of the costs. What happens with our stakeholders if we go up $20,
$30
a day?
Well, if they feel strong
enough,
they'll give it. They'll file a protest and they'll come in and we'll have. And again, the guys that get rich are the lawyers.
Okay, that's huge.
Yes, sir.
One of the reasons this caught my eye is as you have said, it was really enlightening to see where there's surpluses and shortages of water and the cost of moving water where there's a surplus to a shortage. One of the particular areas they were talking about $3,500 an acre foot. And I asked the question, are you talking about $100 square foot? And they said, no, $3,500 an acre foot for water to implement, to make it available to this, to fill the shortages there.
Right,
there's some major issues out there.
And just keep in mind that a lot of these prices, a lot of the costs that we showed you, some are turnkey price. They get water. They build the project, have some treatment involved and some conveyance. Some of them are standalone project costs where it's just the cost to build the reservoir project or just the cost to build the treatment plant. But there are some big numbers in the plan that will get a lot of folks' attention, I think, over the next coming few years.
Unfortunately, until somebody reaches out there and turns on the faucet and there's no water, will they be concerned?
Right.
One more really dumb question. There was a salt... These seawater plants that were talked about.
Desal.
Yeah, desal plants. Did they take those out of the plan? Because there's a lot of water out there in the Gulf of Mexico.
Bradish G, I don't think there's any desalinization plans for the Bradish G area, but that doesn't think.
Region H has it in there, but the Dow has stepped away from it as being the site. So they still have a project, but it is an orphan with respect to its home. And I think they're just nobody. It's needed so far out in the future, and no one's there yet with respect.
Except
to,
it's not so far out in the future anymore.
Well,
when you move that back to 2020, now it's viable.
It's the cost issue. Once they can come to terms with the cost, it moves up big time because it's right there. There's no development time other than piloting and construction.
There's still culture shock going through the cost now from
$60. Yeah. I know. But when you start talking about $1,000 and talk about $3,500, now that $500 doesn't sound so bad. So
now, we do have some brackish groundwater.
We got to be pushing for those kind, too.
We do have brackish groundwater in Region G in some site-specific areas where that could become a reality.
They can do it in Dubai.
Trey, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Any more questions for Trey? With that.